Our first scripture lesson is found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 24. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. For the Lord has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in the Lord's holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false and do not swear deceitfully, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation. Such is the company of those who seek the Lord, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your head, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of the host. The Lord is the King of glory. Selah. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
So Jesus told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And a reading from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. As for those who are in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty, or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, open our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you will say to us today. Amen. Well, the cat's out of the bag. Today is Stewardship Sunday, Stewardship Commitment Sunday, and it is the one Sunday in the year when we commit our time, our talents, and our financial gifts to the Lord in worship. I know that most of you have probably heard a sermon on stewardship, at least one or two. If you were here 2 weeks ago, you heard one. Perhaps you are expecting me then to remind you of the fact that our offerings should be our best, our first fruits, off the top, and not what's left over. Or maybe you're thinking that I am going to remind you of the tithe, that 10% biblical basis, and that the tithe is a guideline by most Christians that they live by. But then again, you may have heard me say before that the tithe is, there's nothing magical about it. It's really just a floor and not a ceiling. It's what more important that we try to, as Emily and I were talking about, try to grow in generosity throughout our lives. Maybe you'll be wondering this morning if I'm going to remind you that if you're not pledging, to please start to pledge somewhere. It gives us some idea of how we can plan for future ministries at the church, to give no matter the amount, to give regularly, systematically, and sacrificially. If a tithe seems impossible, begin at 1% or 2% or 3% or whatever it is that you can manage, and then try to increase that a little bit each year. You may be expecting me to remind you that the Bible teaches that God loves a cheerful giver. So more than anything, that is, it is so important, the attitude with which we give. Maybe you are thinking that I am going to remind you that our tithes and gifts are given in order to accomplish the work of God's kingdom through the body of Christ that we know as the church. And then again, perhaps you are thinking that I am going to tell you that all of life is a gift. The earth is the Lord's, and all that is in it, and everything that we have or hope to have or hope to be is but a gift from God. Yes, all of these might be typical topics for a stewardship sermon. Even so, I'm not going to talk to you about any of these things, at least not in any depth anyway. Rather, what I am going to tell you may surprise you. I am going to tell you that God does not need your time, your talent, and your financial resources. Is anybody on the stewardship committee cringing? God's work will continue, whether or not we choose to participate in that work. However, we need to grow in generosity to become fully alive, to participate, and to live into our human potential as those made in the image of the triune God that lives in the relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, this is what I was trying to explain to Emily, and hopefully I'll do a little better job now. But the first syllable in the word generous is gen, G-E-N. Gen means kin or family. When we practice generosity, new family connections are established and existing family connections are strengthened. You see, we're all members of God's family. We don't know but a teeny tiny little smidge of our siblings in Christ. And God knows that we are happiest, we are most fulfilled, and most at peace when we are generous, when we are giving. Generosity changes us. It fills us with joy and connects us to others, and it fills our lives with blessings. But sometimes we can become lost. I listened to a children's message one time, and the pastor who was giving that children's message, he had a group of children up on the steps, and he said, okay, now everybody from sitting from here to there is going to be a sheep, and everybody sitting from here to there is going to be a shepherd. Now, I want the shepherds to close their eyes and cover them, and I want the sheep to go out into the congregation and hide somewhere. And then he said, gave them a few minutes, and they said, okay, shepherds, go find the sheep. Well, you can imagine the chaos that Sunday. But when it came to a close, they said a prayer, and then they moved on to the sermon. But then there was this little voice coming from the back of the church, and it says, I'm still lost. There was a child that was still hiding that nobody found. Sometimes it's the same way with us. There can be lost sheep in the midst of a congregation. We just never know who they may be. Could be the person sitting next to you. It could be you. It could be me. Could be any of us. We just never know, because from time to time, we lose our way. And when that happens, most of the time, we turn inward and we disconnect and we stop reaching out and being generous. After his wife died, 82-year-old Dan Peterson, he fell into a deep depression. And all he did day after day was sit in the park and watch the squirrels. When he was interviewed by a CBS News correspondent, Mr. Peterson told him that he had no purpose for living. All that changed one day in the grocery store. Dan, who doesn't like to shop, was caught on the store's hidden camera with a scowl on his face, but that's not all that he was caught doing or what the security camera caught. It caught something else, something wonderful that broke through Dan's grief. A 4-year-old girl named Norma reached out to Dan from her mother's shopping cart. She wasn't sitting in the seat, she was sitting in the back of the cart. And when she saw Dan, she stood up and she held on to the edge of the shopping cart and she says, "You look really old. Hello, old man." The mother was mortified. And then she said, "Can I give you a hug?" And Dan said, "Absolutely." Nora got her hug. And then she asked her mother to take a picture of Dan, she and Dan, because this was her new best friend. Now, Nora had grandparents, but the relationship, the mother said, was totally different. And, you know, Dan had grandchildren too, but they were all grown up and had moved away. Nora's mom will tell you that this relationship simply defies explanation, but to Dan, it's just a miracle, but far less mysterious. He believes that Nora, his new little friend, is literally an angel. After all, what are angels but people who are messengers of God's love? The love of Christ, our shepherd, found in Dan. The love of Christ, our shepherd, found Dan through a little 4-year-old girl named Norma. Whether we are lost in grief or muddled priorities or greed or selfishness or illness or bad choices or poverty or any type of self-destructive behavior of any kind, whether we caused it or not, or if it's just our circumstances, our good shepherd always finds us because each of us are precious to God, who, like a good shepherd, is wonderfully at work reaching out to the lost, using those like Nora who are willing to be generous co-creators in sharing the love of Christ. And neither one of them were in a church, were they? God is everywhere, working through everything. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully," literally in the Greek, that blessings will come to someone, "will also reap bountifully." Paul seems to be saying, live generously in a way that blesses others, and you will be blessed. Now, let me be very clear. I'm not talking about the gospel of prosperity here. There are some Christians that believe in the gospel of prosperity. I believe they have it wrong. The gospel of prosperity says that if you give to God, God will make you financially rich. That's giving to get something back. Even so, when we give to others, we are blessed. Sometimes we are blessed financially, but more often and much better are the spiritual blessings that come to us when we practice generosity, a greater sense of God's presence in our lives, deeper and more meaningful relationships with one another, and a greater sense of peace. But we do not give to God so that we can get something in return. We give out of a sense of gratitude for everything that we have been given, our very life. Sometimes, however, it takes a little while for us to realize what it is that we have. Not so long ago, a family in Buffalo, New York, received the surprise of a lifetime. Ever since the 1970s, the Cobbler family had stored a painting that had been in the family for years. One day, the brothers were playing football in the house, and they happened to knock the painting off of the wall, and it slid down behind the couch, and so they just left it there for many years, and they referred to the painting as Mike. Finally, years after that painting had been stored behind the couch, Antonio Cobbler got curious. So he consulted with auction houses and Renaissance art dealers and museum directors. And do you know what the Cobbler family discovered? They discovered that they had a treasure that was worth millions of dollars, painted by Michelangelo. Although we didn't deserve it and may not fully comprehend its value, each of us has been given an even more priceless gift. Jesus came and said, "I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." As those who have been made in God's image, abundant life in relationship with God and each other starts here and now. And it is experienced best when, in gratitude to God, we reach out and generously share what God has shared with us. When we are generous, we live into and claim our truest identity as God's beloved children. Although God does not need our offerings, if Trinity Clearwater is going to be all that God has called us to be, and if all of the many ministries that are supported by this church are supposed to continue, so that we can demonstrate the love of God, so that all people know God's loving presence, the shepherd needs your time, your talent, and your treasure. When we learn to live generously, we learn to truly live. Or as Winston Churchill once said, "You make a living by what you get. You make a life by what you give." So, as Paul says, do good, be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that you may take hold of the life that really is life. And all of God's people said, amen. May it be so. You make a living by what you get. You make a life by what you give. So, do good. Be rich in good works, generous, and ready to share, thus storing up for the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that you may take hold of the life that truly is life. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Alleluia. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.